Lord Jesus, take the balm that is your word and put it all over our lives. The creation that you made that yearns not to be alone is often in the same familiar place of wondering, how can I live with the person that you've given me? And how could I not live with the person that you've given me? God, please, if your mandate is for us to be married, and I see it in Scripture, then at least give us the understanding of how to stay married. We need you, God. We can't do this without you. We tried and we failed miserably many times. Help us, God, please. In Christ's name, amen. Today's teaching on marriage must come with a caveat and an opening. And the opening and caveat is this. If you are here and you are living with your person of interest, whether that be your boyfriend, your girlfriend, or whatever combination of throuple you want to consider yourself, you will not get anything out of this message today that will help you beyond logic. The reason being is, marriage was created, a man and a woman, to go before God and say, I do and I will forever. Ladies, if you are having sex with that man before you marry him, you give him very little incentive after that to stay with you. Brothers, if you have seduced that woman because you promised her that you would be with her even if you weren't married, and even if you do get married, you lied to her and you lied to yourself. And that's easy to do. Having said that, though, please understand, me and my wife lived together for almost 7 years before we got married. My wife was pregnant with our third child when we got married. I'm not judging you. I'm in no position to judge. But what I am in a position to do is to tell you, and I'm in a perfect position to tell you, that God can't bless a mess. So it's going to be really hard spiritually to connect if you're having sex before you get married. Having said that, though, please understand that doesn't mean God's going to curse your whole life. It's not why things are going bad in your job. It's not why you're unhappy all the time. Don't think that God looks down from heaven and says, oh, you're having sex before marriage. Oh, that's it. I'm just going to erase every blessing from your life. That's not what he does. But he cannot bless your relationship. So please keep in mind that this is not a course in how to get along with each other. That's not it at all. This is a course in what the Bible says about marriage, okay? Chapter 5, the book of Ephesians, starting in verse 22. Now, I'm sorry, before I get started, how many of you all were not here last week? Just a quick show of hands. Yeah, okay, so I got to give the same spiel. Listen, I'm going to really, pardon the French, piss most of you off today. It's old-fashioned, it's antiquated, it's kind of ridiculous that I would even say such crazy things like I'm going to say. But this is what the Bible says. This is an important lesson in what marriage looks like according to Scripture. Wait till the end before you say, honey, get the kids, we're out of here. Okay? Please, I'm going to go about 40 minutes, 45 minutes. And who's complaining about that? You? That's why you're not married, Boogie, right there. You have no patience. Do what everybody else does and just fall asleep. All kidding aside, guys. Serious. Try and receive before you get upset. And then that way, afterward, I'll be up here. The leadership, please, guys, after communion, leadership couples, come up here and pray with people, whether you're married or living together or in a relationship. Welcome to come up and receive some prayer. Especially you singles, Because this might be like, yeah, you know what, you just turned me off from marriage. Well, I'm not trying to turn you off from marriage. Marriage is the greatest thing in the world, with the exception of receiving Christ as your Savior. It does, however, have some rules that, to abide by, and if you don't abide by them, then you'll just be another statistic in divorce, just like most of our family, you know what I mean? So, you have my caveat. You have my exceptions. Verse 22, Ephesians chapter 5, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, I wish, believe me, that that was the end of the Bible study. It is not, however. So ladies, don't be mad that the Apostle Paul just wrote that your husband's the boss. Because according to the Bible, your husband's the boss. But there are parameters for that boss now. So don't just read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 and say, see, woman, shut up and listen. Until you, man, will shut up and listen to this. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. That gave himself means death. Christ didn't just give himself like as an opportunity. No, he took that opportunity to the cross, died for his wife. So when she aggravates you, makes you mad, when she's acting like a woman, you're supposed to die and take it like a man. Continuing, that he, speaking of the husband, also speaking of his opportunity to be like Christ, sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. That's an amazing verse right there. And let me tell you the two things that it means. Number one, you're washing her by the water of the word. That means, brothers, it is incumbent upon you to be reading the Bible to your wife every single day. Whether it's a verse, whether it's a chapter, whether it's a whole book. That is your job, husband. Now, I want to show you something, though, that makes this a little extra that you probably have not seen before. You see where it says in that same verse, word, the last verse, the last word in that verse, where it says word, that is not the word logos, that is the word rhema. Why is that important? Listen to me. What I am doing is I am today giving you the word. The word. The logos. I am pouring out the word upon you as a teacher, giving you line by line, precept upon precept. Here's what I'm not doing. I'm not saying, thus says the Lord, you two have this in your marriage. That is a revelation. That is the supernatural thing that God does. What is it, Ryan? What are you talking about? You lost me completely, Ryan. What do you mean? Here's what I mean. Husbands, I'm the pastor of the church. You're not the pastor of the house. You're the priest of the house. What does the priest of the house do? The priest of the house does not teach. He serves. You wash your wife in the water of the word. You don't get up there and go, hey, come on, we're going to have a Bible study, and here's what this means, and here's what this means. Because I tried that. When I first got out in 98, and I was like, man, I really want to do this. I want to wash my wife in the water of the word every day. And all of a sudden, I wanted to be a pastor. Oh, here's what this means, and here's what this means. And here's the craziest thing. My wife has way more intuition about God than me. She had way more knowledge about the Bible than me. Oh, here's what that means, Ryan. No, it doesn't. No, and I get and it's the craziest thing. I've had more fights with my wife about God than almost anything else, except the kids. Now, real quick, honest show of hands. How many of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about there? Okay, so I'm not the only one. Okay, fair enough. The word rhema means let God do the work. Now, that's not the literal translation, but that's the implication that you're not husbands. You're not giving them the logos of the word. You're not teaching them line by line, verse by verse. You're giving them the rhema of the word, the spiritual application. Let God do it. Let God open their heart and speak to them. Be a priest. Don't be a pastor. You following me? Continuing. Verse 27, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So, husbands, you ought to love your wife as your own body. For he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. You see, the Bible says, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So now, when you hurt your wife, you're only hurting yourself. And if you would look at it like that, you stop these little mental games that you play, and some of us play 20 and 30 years later, and you start those little games. Me and my wife played this game. This is great. We were dating, right? And I used to go to her house. My in-laws aren't here, right? Good. I used to show up at her house at like 2, 3 in the morning. I was in a band at the time. We were just dating, and I used to knock on the window. She used to open the window. I used to come in. It was a Romeo and Juliet thing. What was I talking about? You messed me up. Huh? Playing games. Thank you. Who said playing games? Thank you. And I used to say, okay, baby, I love you. I love you too. I'll call you when I get home. And I used to say, on my way home, I'm not going to call her. I want to see if she cares about me. And she never called me. It'd be 5, 6 in the morning. And then I knew she had to get up at like 8 for work. And I used to call, is that her back there? Oh, she showed up. Hi, honey. I know you're here. Anyway. So I called her. You didn't call me last night. She said, you didn't call me last night. Well, I just want to see if you cared about me. I want to see if you cared about me. If you wanted to talk to me, you could have called me. And here we have this whole mental thing going on, right? And basically what we were doing was just trying to hurt each other. We're trying to forcing each other into feeling something for each other that we really couldn't feel yet because, number one, we weren't married. But here's the stupid thing. We still do it. 30 years later, we still do it. You didn't call me. I didn't call you. You didn't call me. Well, I'm mad at you. And here's the thing that always happens, right? I'm really mad at her, so I don't call her. But when I don't call her, I think about her twice as much as if I wasn't mad at her and I did call her. So it does the exact opposite of what I was trying to accomplish from the beginning. Anybody? Like, amen that one? Okay. Some of you single people are like, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Sure it is. Sure it is. Hey, you don't play that game. Verse 31. I'm sorry, verse 30. Did we leave off at 30? Yes, 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. Let the wife see that she respects her husband. Verse 1, chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you. And you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Give me your attention, please. Let me explain to you what he means there. He says, and I'm going to go over this again because a lot of you weren't here last week. I tell you a great mystery. The Apostle Paul is trying to explain to you the very purpose of marriage. The reason of marriage, the whole idea that God created marriage was so that you are the physical representation of the spiritual picture of Christ and the church. That's all marriage is for. It's an arrangement set up by God so that you too would say, you're to be like Christ, you're to be like the church, and everybody's going to see how you die for her and how you love him. And you ain't going to love him good, and you ain't going to die for her good, but you know what? You're still the picture whether you like it or not. And that is what marriage is for. Marriage is not to satisfy your sexual or sensual pleasures. Marriage is not so that you cannot be lonely, although those things are great that they occur sometimes. What's most important in those things is that you are a right representation. So this is why, again, going over some stuff from last week, when people ask me, as a pastor, are you against gay marriage? And I say, no, I'm not against gay marriage one bit. As a matter of fact, I know a lot of gay people that are married, men that are married to men, women that are married to women, and I have nothing against them. And they always clutch their pearls. Oh my goodness, are you one of those churches? No, no, no. I'm not against them. They're just not going to get married here. I can't marry them here. Now, if two gay men want to come to our church and they want to sit in this congregation and they want to love God and they want to worship God and they want to go home and do their gay thing, that's their business. I don't care. That's not my business what two people do when they're not here. But when they come to me and say, hey, we really love each other, would you marry us? And I go, I can't do that. And they, how come? But you see how we love God and we worship God. Because the Bible, it says, for this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. The wife is feminine. The man, the husband is masculine. I can't. I'm sorry. I'm not the justice of the peace. I'm not the state. I do not think the state has the right to tell me what to do, but I also don't have the right to tell the state what to do. If two men want to get married and they think that's going to make them happy, you know, they could have marriage. You know what else they could have? They could have divorce also. How's that? You could have marriage, divorce. You could have separate. You could have all the good stuff that comes with marriage. Have it all. And they do. They get married. They get married and divorced at even a higher rate than heterosexual couples. You got this so far? We all on the same page so far? Listen to this with your ears and your heart. The best marriages that I know of, mine included, are business arrangements. They're based upon rules and agreements of fidelity and decency, not some magical whisper of oneness, unity, and eternal romantic perspectives. It's a contract of not crossing certain lines so that the greater good is served to those appointed as our responsibility. This is true love. It's a verb, not a noun. It's an action, not a feeling. It's not some fairy tale or cartoon measuring line of beauty and hope and make-believe things that never existed. It's a mutual respect given and taken, broken and repaired almost daily by our humanity and selfishness, by our self-pity and self-esteem, by our false, fake, and taught expectations, as well as our downright twisted ability to want what doesn't, never did, and never will exist. And until we as adults realize that Walt Disney wrote make-believe stories for fantasy-minded minds, we will never stop divorcing from our potential best, because we have been sold and we bought a bad bill of goods. Because if marriage was intended to be something sweet, special, and eternal, I missed the memo. But I persisted anyway and succeeded in doing what most, and I mean most, don't. And me and my wife have stayed together faithfully. And we've had some magical moments. Actually, as I think about it, lots of magical moments. More than most, I believe, and I'd like to think based upon many conversations with hundreds of couples, I think we did better than most with what we had and what we were given, and I have no regrets with the business partner I have lived with now for more than 30 years, and as far as I know, she has kept up her end of this business deal, and the truth is, you shouldn't ask for much more than that. That's depressing. And yet happy at the same time. Because we've made it so far. I don't know what got into our hearts, what let you down, what expectations were put on you, and who put them there. That this sense of romance that you first feel at the beginning, it's supposed to last forever. It never existed that way. It wasn't supposed to be. Listen, I have a strange view on these things because my parents stayed together for more than 50 years. But they shouldn't have. The way they treated each other was terrible. They broke the commitments. They weren't married in Christ, never were. You're here, and you're either looking to be married, or you're with the person, and they're sitting next to you, or he's sitting next to you. Please listen to these things, and prepare yourself, and don't engage the gear of marriage unless these things make sense to you, because this is only what the Bible says about marriage. Husband, you are to lead your wife as Christ led his church. It's that simple. And the woman has the opportunity and the ability to be even more like Christ than the man because it's easy to lead. Or should I say, it's easy to feel like you want to lead. What's hard is to know, like my wife, she's smarter than me. She knows God better than me. She's certainly more intuitive than me. I'm just caveman. And yet she still is forced by a spiritual law to take second place in this marriage. And that's exactly what Christ did, according to Scripture. He, every bit equal to God, yet did not consider itself robbery, did not consider itself to be second best to being second best. He knew that to lead, he had to serve. He knew that to be the boss, he first also must be the subordinate. Does that sound weird? Let me give you some of the priorities. When I first got to, when we first got saved, me and my wife, we were married, and kind of crazy testimony thing is we were married, I guess, about a year and a half or so, and we started going to church, and we met these people at church, and they took an interest in our life, and it's like, hey, why don't we take this premarital class? Even though we're already married, we have no idea what marriage is. She rededicated her life to the Lord. I just got saved, and was like, I don't know what this is about. I want to follow God with whatever's left of my life. I didn't think much was going to be left because in 6 weeks, I was leaving for prison. 6 weeks. I was like, bye. So we took this class, and I wouldn't be there for the last class, but at least we started taking it. And one of the things we learned in it, retained with, is a married couple, you have priorities. And if everybody knows their role, responsibility, and job, it'll make your marriage a little easier. You ready? What's priority number one? God. God is first priority. He's above everything else. There's only one time I will tell a woman to disobey her husband. Women come here all the time. Oh, my husband, he's not a Christian, or he goes to this other church, but I don't like that other church because of this, that, and the other thing. And a lot of times they say, he doesn't want me to go to church. And there's almost nothing I would ever say this to a woman for. Almost nothing, with the exception of some physical sexual abuse. I would say, you disobey your husband on that one. And once a week, you go to church. Because God has got to be the priority. It's often been put like this. This is, picture a triangle, right? Here's a triangle, right? Here's the husband, here's the wife, here's God. You got this triangle? The closer you both get to God, the closer you get to each other. But you cannot break that track. You are not going to get closer to your spouse without getting closer to God. As a matter of fact, what you will find is the more you abandon God, the further you'll be from that wife, no matter how close you think you are to her. God's the first priority in any relationship. What's the second priority? It's your spouse. It's your spouse. Now, in this day and age of broken families and repairs and all this other stuff, I praise God for repairs and all that stuff, but the second priority in our lives is each other. It's not your kids. It's not your best friend. It's not your parents. Your spouse. Now again, caveat, with the exception of some physical and sexual, I'm not talking about emotional, because that is really, really subjective, abuse, you never take your children's side over your spouse. You don't reprimand your wife in front of your kids. You don't reprimand your husband. You don't tell your husband no in front of your children. Three, then the next priority is your kids. It's not your parents. It's not your job. It's not even your ministry service. I'm not talking about your calling in Christ. I'm talking about your ministry service. Oh, bro, they really need me. We're setting up the church for Christmas. Yeah, we got nobody to watch the kid. Well, you stay home and watch them. I have to serve God. No, you don't have to serve God. Stay home and take care of your kid. Well, can I bring the kid to church? You better ask whoever's running that ministry that. This is weird, Ryan. I don't know if I get this. Listen, I understand that. And why should you listen to me? Do I have some exemplary marriage you should follow? Nope. You know what I have? 30 years together. And when you get there, you can start telling me. Four is family. Then it's your family. We're going to get to that in the next couple of weeks. For this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your mother and father that it may be well with you. I would be the first to sit here and tell you of all the shortcomings of my parents. And it will do no good. You must honor your mother and father. You do not have a reason. Even when I could not go to their house because of whatever activities they were involved in, me and my wife still helped them out. We either paid their bill in some way. I paid my mother's phone bill for 15 years. We paid their rent when they had. I had to have a way of honoring them, even if I, like, why don't you bring your kids up here? It's like, oh, I love you guys. I do. I love you. All is forgiven for yesterday. But, Dad, get rid of your stinking porno mags. I can't bring my kids up here in a chance. They're going to go into the bathroom and see them. I come up to your house and you got a mound of pot on the table. I can't have my kids around that stuff. I mean, you guys are like 70 years old. You think maybe it's time to stop smoking herb? Some of you guys are laughing and some of you guys are crying. Like, yeah, well, I still smoke herb. God, spouse, kids, family, job. Job. Your job comes after that. Your job comes after that. Now, that might seem out of priority because how are you going to pay for your family if you don't have a job? Listen, one of the things I hate about our society is that it's really hard in this day and age for a husband to just go to work and make enough money to take care of his wife and kids, and I hate that. I hate that. We've really poisoned our society. Some girl at the, I think it was the Grammy Awards, she goes up there with her, she's got this Grammy in her hand. I want you to know, this is only possible because a few years ago, I used my right to be able to get an abortion and hear. And she said that. And it didn't even occur to her what she just said. I killed my baby for this. And it's like, oh, and all the Hollywood swells. Yes, you had an abortion. Congratulations. And here I am. Committer of 5 abortions in my life, and I live with all this regret and pain and the hope that when I get to heaven, I'm going to be able to look these children in the eye and say, I'm sorry. God wiping the last tear from my eye. But family is more important, and me and my wife had to make a decision. I was, I don't remember how old I was young. And I would drop Elena and Ashlyn off at the daycare. We took our kids over to First Baptist Pompano Beach. They had a great daycare over there, and I dropped them off. And every day, they would scream, Daddy, don't leave me, Daddy. And I'd walk down the hallway, and I'd be like, oh. sucks. I'd sit there and sometimes I'd be like, nah, screw it. I'm taking them with me. Give me my kids. And I grab them. We'd spend the day together and I'd take them to work. And then one day, man, I don't remember her name and I should. This woman says, Ryan, could I talk to you? And I said, yeah. She says, you seem like a really good dad. Most of the fathers just drop their kids off and they're on their way and they don't care. She says, but can I ask you a couple of personal questions? And at the time, it's because every time they did that, it just killed me, that they would be screaming my name as I'm walking down the hallway. She's like, how much money do you make? And I was like, yeah, I make like $28,000 a year. So how much does your wife make? She makes more money than I do. I bet if you got a little smaller house and got rid of one of your cars, your wife can stay home and take care of your kids. And I was like, what are you talking about? So if you calculate how much you pay us versus how much extra you pay in the clothes that she has to buy for work versus how much extra she has to pay, and she went through the list, and she said, I bet that you'll find out you don't make near as much money as you think you do if you calculate all that. And that woman changed our lives, because it was only a few months later that I told her, you quit that job, we're giving this thing a go. And you want to know the crazy thing that happened was? God doubled my salary over the course of the next 3 years. God showed up when we made those choices because we gave him space to show up. And we had some lean times, and there were some times that even, you know, we got letters of disconnection and stuff like that, but between family and friends, we made it. And God showed up and blessed us for the energy and effort. And I'm honored and proud to say, giving God the glory, that my wife has been the ultimate homemaker. And that's not that she hasn't worked, because you homeschool my animal kids, that's some work. And they thought we were freaks. You're taking your kids out of school? Yeah. How come? Because we're going to homeschool. Homeschool. I thought only crazy people did that. Now it's like no big deal, right? But when we first started doing it, people are crazy. You want to know what happened? I'll tell you the tragedy. Me and my wife, we had this conversation one day, and I said to her, honey, I'd rather raise idiots that love God and love their family than geniuses that don't want anything to do with each other and hate God. But you know what God did? He met us there too. Now me, never went a day to college. Not one day. Barely graduated high school. Actually graduated 6 months late. My wife, I think, you're a college dropout, aren't you, babe? Yeah, she's a college dropout. So far, all of my adult children have graduated college. Elena has what's the four-year thing you got? Huh? And you were like a loudy, loudy, loudy? Huh? Magna, whatever. Arlie, you got your AA, right? Bubba, you got your AA, and now you're about to get your bachelor's too, right? In another couple of months, right? And then Ashlyn also got, not only did she get her AA, she also was in the Army for almost 2 years, along with her husband. Now, how did that happen? How did two people who have zero education, as a matter of fact, my wife has dyslexia so bad, believe me, she doesn't remember your name. My daughter has to follow her and tell her everybody's name, because otherwise she'll say it backwards. Not really, I was just making fun of her. But she does have dyslexia. Now, how did that happen? I'll tell you how that happened. God. We gave God some space in our lives to do something in faith. Now, looking back over the last 25 years, like, man, I don't know if that was the greatest thing in the world, but wow, we did it. You ready? Okay. To be what your spouse wants according to the way God made them. Ready, women? To be what your spouse wants according to the way God made them. Ladies, buckle up. Your husband wants you to be enraptured with him. He wants to know, or at least think, that he's the only one that turns you on. He wants to know that you think about him and him only every intimate time of your life, and that you dream about him, you fantasize about him, and he's the only one ever, ever, ever that rocked your world at any given time. That's it. It does not turn a guy on to think that you're looking at something else and being turned on so that you have sex with him. Okay, baby, I got it. I'm done with that part. My wife's giving me the cut your head off thing. Two, that he's the only one you ever really love slash loved, and that you didn't know true love before him, and there will never be another. Should he die, because he's your entire world. And there's no plan B, there's no backup plan, and that your exes are long past your consciousness. You got that? He wants to know. That's it. It's him, him alone. Now, I'm telling you things that I know don't exist. But I'm telling you where we're shooting for here. I'm telling you. And everybody that's sitting, every dude that's sitting here going, every lady that's sitting here goes, yeah, that's not my husband. Yeah, it is. Oh, but that's not what he tells me. I don't care what he tells you. So many people settle for second best. You have your butt hanging out on your Facebook or Instagram page. Let me tell you something. That don't turn him on at all. Even if he tells you, it don't. Three, that you love him with loyalty behind his back to your friends and family, to strangers and enemies, and you never talk poorly or negatively about him. Never. He never wants to find out you told your best friend you are stuck with this fill in the blank. One time, going back probably more than 15 years, almost 20 years ago, we got Pollo Tropical, and me and a bunch of friends were working in the backyard, and we had the Pollo Tropical laid out, and my wife made me this plate, and she puts it down, and I have a very good friend of mine, and he's just a loving and gentle kid, and I wouldn't have minded, but, oh, and he looked at her, and he goes, oh, that looks great, can I have one of those? And she looked at him and said, absolutely, go make it yourself, he only gets this treatment. I felt the same way. I was like, yeah, George, go make it yourself. Let me tell you something. You want to talk about a turn on emotionally, spiritually, physically, attachment? That's right. That's right. My wife would constantly tell me, you need to be nicer to people. You need to be sweeter to people. You need to be nicer to people. You need to be sweeter to people. You need to be nicer. Don't be such a jerk to people all the time. You know what I say to her? You need to be more of a jerk to people. You got to stop being so nice to people. You need to be, listen, don't be nice to them. Don't, and do me a favor, stop touching people when you talk to them. You know some people, oh, yeah, don't touch nobody when you talk to them. I'm the only one you touch. And four, she doesn't want you to treat him like your child, and he hates it, and I mean really, really, really hates it, when all you do is tell him what he didn't do, what he did wrong, what he didn't get you that you really wanted. It crushes his soul. When you tell him how he doesn't make enough money to supply you with the things that you really wanted to get, it crushes us. Pastor Bob used to say, nobody wants to have sex with their mother. Man, buckle up, man. Number one, this is what your wife wants. She wants to know that you're taking care of everything, that you care about the bills and the insurance, and that you lock the doors every night, and that when she's with you, she's completely safe. And when she's not at all with you, she wants to know all she has to do is call you and you'll be there in a moment's notice. She wants to know that you'll die for her and that you would kill for her, that you'd take a bullet or give a bullet for her. That's what she wants to know. Oh, I'll get my man on the phone right now and it'll be on. She doesn't want to close, lock the house up at night because you fell asleep on the couch. She doesn't want to lock the house up at night because you didn't get home from work on time. Baby girl, I got this. There was years that went by when my wife didn't even have to pump her own gas. If I found out she didn't have gas in her, I'd drive her car up to the gas station and fill it up. I don't know how we got over that, but now it's like, get your own gas. But listen, it's still a good thing. My wife only opens the doors when I'm really mad. Other than that, I open every single door for her. When I'm mad, I was like, open your own door. What am I? But I'm telling you, women want to know you got this. You got insurance? Baby, I got insurance. I got a Roth IRA. Listen, if anything happens to me, you're taken care of. Got this. Two, that you are 100% loyal sexually, sensually, and emotionally, and that all you consider is her. That you don't have intimate conversations with anyone else, man or woman. That you don't need porn or thoughts of others to turn you on. And that when you are with her, all you're thinking about is her, and she's your best friend. Not some other girl you knew. Oh yeah, we're just friends. Your best friend? Is that your best friend? Well, when we met, I told you that was my best friend. Well, now we're married, and you shouldn't have a best friend of the opposite sex. Matter of fact, you shouldn't have any other best friend except me. That's what they want. Because the vast majority of guys I know that have best friends, yeah, we had sex once or twice. But it didn't work out. Listen. Some couples do this thing and it's become really accepted in society where you watch porn together. It's like, it does not turn a woman on to watch porn and then have sex with her. It doesn't. You might think it does. It doesn't. It doesn't. Oh, no, you don't know. No, you don't know. You don't know. Listen, guys. I know this is going to be crazy, right? Here, let me blow some of your minds right now. Ready? I've been with my wife for 30 years. And do you realize in 30 years, I don't fart in front of her? It's disgusting. I don't do that in front of my wife. It's horrible. Some of you guys are like, yeah, me and my wife, we fart in front of each other. Listen to me. I've been in your situation before, and here's what happens. I meet this dude, and he starts saying, oh, me and my son-in-law, like, man, you fart in front of your wife. Did you realize my son-in-law, for the first 5 years of a marriage, wouldn't crap in the same house? He wants to so treat her. Sorry, bub. Hey, man, this is for the Lord. Let me tell you some stuff about Andrew. No. Listen to me, when you treat her better than you treat the waitress at the restaurant, don't think she doesn't know it. So I meet these people and they start to tell, oh yeah, we do, we play the fart game all the time. Okay, and then 5 years go by and man, things are going so bad. And we sit down in my office, what's going on? He's so disgusting, he farts under the covers, now he wants it. And I look and I go, I told you! You thought it was okay. You thought she didn't care. Well, she played it too. And that's even worse. And we're laughing and having a good time, but I hope you take me sincerely. Treat her like every day you're trying to romance her. And of course, there's going to be times where you get mad and say dumb things. Yeah. But when things are good, they got to be good all the way around. Three, she wants you to want to be home with her. She wants your time, full attention, and complete desire to just hang out with her, whether it's on vacation with her, whether it's on the phone with her, in bed with her, watching bad television, especially out to lunch, dinner, ice cream. Look at her. Not the phone or the waitress or the TV that's hanging up in the restaurant. I have like a thing, you know? This is a mental thing. I am very attentive. I lived most of my life in the street. I've been in and out of prison for the first 25 years of my life constantly. I have what's called swivel head. Everything, where is it? Okay, I'm against, like, my back's against the wall. It's just habitual for me. It's a paranoia that I live with. It's the way it is. And when I see, like, if I'm in a restaurant and there's a TV, it's like, zip, 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 zip. We can't go out to eat in Duffy's or any of these sports bars. Can't do it. I can't. Honey, can you look at me? Honey, you don't even like basketball. I know, but there's people moving up there. You see that shot? And then Austin just left. Look at that shot! Ready, guys? And she hates when you make her feel like you don't care either. The game or the reality, she gets hopeless and lonely very quickly when you act like she doesn't matter. If you play that game, I don't care if you come or go. It makes no difference to me. Whatever you do, go. Go get out. You don't like it? I don't care. Go. You know what happens to her? You kill her. And then when she's dead, you spend the rest of your life trying to revive her. But once she's dead, it's really hard. Because what happens is it takes about 10, 15 years, but you've killed her so many times and rose her from the dead and killed her and rose her from the dead and killed her and rose her from the dead. After a while, it's over. How come you don't cry in front of me anymore? Because she don't feel safe in front of you. And then we complain, oh, well, she always cries. Listen, I always tell brothers all the time, your wife's crying in front of you, be happy about it. That means at least there's some level of safety still. When they stop crying in front of you guys, you got real problems that you're going to have to deal with. Believe me when I tell you. Listen, you want a relationship for the ages. You want one that maybe 3 or 4% of the population wind up with, where you serve God together and you have amazing moments, and 30 years later, there's still that moment of amazing attraction and exaltation. This is the way you do it. This is the way it works. And if you don't believe me, you're wrong. It's not subjective. This is not like, well, that works for some couples, it doesn't work. No, it works for all couples. It just depends on what kind of relationship you want to have. You can be together for 50 years and not care one bit. At some point, the realization that unless somebody submits and lets go of his or her ego and pride, you won't make it. Marriage is not 50-50. It's 100-100. And any time there is only one person willing to yield and to give in and to give up, it's over. You understand? It's over. If one person says, you do all the heavy lifting, the person that's been doing the heavy lifting eventually gets tired and they shut down and it's over. I don't care if it's 10 years, 20 years, or a year and a half. We used to have this thing. It's like, if I'm the only one working to keep this, if you want to be honest, you can. You don't have to be. This is not like you're not going to get checked at the front door. But how many of you guys feel like you're the only one that cares if this relationship stays or goes? How many of you guys are like, I'm the only one making this thing work? If it was up to you, the thing would be dead a long time ago. I mean, if it wasn't for me always saying, just forget about it, let's make it work. No, you're the one. It's always, no, I'm not going to change my mind. No, you were wrong this time. No, if it's always you, it's eventually that person dies. It's like, you know what? I don't care anymore. I don't. Forget you. Knowing one's role, one's place, and one's job is paramount to the success of any business relationship. And as I stated, make no mistakes about it, marriage is part business. That's my job. This is your job. That's my role. This is your role. And this is why in this church we do premarital class. We go in there and we go through roles, responsibilities, job, who's going to do this, who's going to take care of the money, okay, who's going to take out the garbage, who's going to make the food, who's going to do the laundry. Because there's not anything, oh, listen, laundry's a woman's job. Really? Then I must be a woman because I do a lot of laundry. And I don't mind one bit. It actually suits my personality. I like folding things, stacking them neat. My wife does my laundry. She says, honey, why'd you put my shirts over there? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I put your sport shirts far away from your reptile shirts? I'm so sorry. Well, I forgive you, but don't do it again. There's a website called The Five Love Languages. Any couple, married, dating, I don't care where you're at, go to The Five Love Languages. Here are the five love languages. I'm not going to go in detail, but I'm going to show you what they are, and let's see if you could find yourself. One, touch. Some people just love to be touched all the time. Some people freaking hate it, which is really weird because I love being touched all the time, and my wife don't. So I'm trying to, like, touch her face. Baby, I love you, I love you. And she's like, yeah, this is terrific. And I'm constantly just taking her hand and putting it on my back. Acts of service. Acts of service. Some people really speak to their heart when you do acts of service. It was about 2 years ago, my wife went on a trip. I think she went up to see one of my grandchildren up in North Carolina that my daughter had. And when she came, when she was gone, I had a buddy of mine. Well, he didn't have a buddy of mine. I paid a guy to make all the bricks all around. We have this brick, like, it was like a chair rail outside the house, something like that, what do you call it? I had him come there and paint them so that they have this wet look about them. She came home, she goes, did you have the bricks painted? Yeah, I did. Oh, honey. Yeah. Me? I could care less. Oh, I washed your car and did your laundry. Like, thanks, or whatever. That don't speak to me. You didn't touch me the whole time. The reason I didn't touch you the whole time, because I was making your dinner, doing your laundry. I even washed your car. But you didn't touch me the whole time. You weren't here rubbing my back. These are love languages, guys. And you must find your spouse's love language. Otherwise, you think that their love language is your love language, and then you think they hate you or don't care about you. But that's not the case at all. Because we have this selfish thing in our heart that we make people do, or we try to do to other people what we really want them to do to us. It's crazy. Giving gifts, words of affirmation, quality time. Quality time is just so far away from me. It's like, whatever. We don't have to spend time together. Just touch me. Touch my back. I don't care if we don't spend time together. But we have to be together for me to touch you. You can get a long stick and just touch me from far away. I'm growing late. I didn't want to go this late. Number one cause of fighting. Now, not the number one cause of divorce, but the number one cause of fighting in the house. Anybody? Kids, we are going to look at parenting skills next week. Parental parenting skills when it comes to how to treat your kids. Because if you don't, and this is one of the classes that we do in my office, premarital, if you do not come to this agreement, brothers, if you stand up and start handing out the communion elements, if you don't know, are we going to spank the kids? Are we going to send the kids to school? How do you spank? What do you spank? When to spank? I've had people sit and tell me, we don't believe in spanking. My parents spanked me. And if you come from an Italian family or a New York family like I come from, that's not spanking. That's beating. There's a big difference between spanking and beating. If somebody hits you with something, that's abuse. You know what I mean? Some people, we have to find what's normal and what's abnormal. Making the kid work. The kid's only 8 years old, and what? You're making him pull weeds. That's what you're supposed to do. That's abuse, I'm telling you. No, we gotta get all this out, all this down. We gotta talk about it because there's nothing worse, that nothing creates more dissension than fighting. Thank you. I'm gonna do something a little, I just feel led. Matt, why don't you come up and play a song for communion, please? From the heart, with the Lord. We got to get together on this stuff, guys. These chapters are life-changing. And for you singles, please, I'm telling you, these are more for you than they are for the married couples. It's almost too late for them, but it's not too late for you. They've already screwed their relationships up so bad, and now they're trying to play catch-up. But you who are not yet married, know what you're getting into. Make sure you set down this pathway before yourself. This, because I'm teaching on marriage, does not mean I'm speaking to you. I'm more so speaking to you than married couples. Me and my wife have far too long tried to play catch up for 30 plus years on the things that we should have done, shouldn't have done. It's just not too late for you. So before you make that plunge, so to speak, Jesus Christ, take my life. You know what I'm talking about? You got that one? So, if you're new, if I freaked you out today or messed with your life or I really made you mad, I apologize. I only want to hurt you if it's the Word of God. This is your new start. We're doing what's called communion. Communion is a way we come together as a family and break bread in a spiritual way so that this represents the body of Christ and this represents the blood of Christ. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can use this as a way to accept Him. You're telling God, God, I want your body to be everything I am, and I accept the gift of salvation that is in your blood, but you could also do it as a way to renew your life in the Lord. This is a special, interesting, spiritual moment. What we're going to do is I'm going to let Matt play a song. And during that song, you listen to the words. It's a very intense, very, very moving, emotional song. Do not partake. We will partake as a family together in one. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at it. It's got holes in it. Just like the Lord's hands and feet were pierced. It's burnt. It's got some baking. That means just like his friends abandoned him, they burnt him that night. And it's flat. It has no, it's not a regular piece of bread. It's a flat piece of bread, which means it has no leaven. It has no yeast in it. It's without sin. And this is the representation of the blood that he spilt for you. I want you to think about that as Matt plays this song. Again, we'll come back and we'll partake together. Just take this moment as intimate.
I abandon the weight of my sin, the weight of my loss and my pain. Believe swells air in my lungs. Freedom releases my Jesus Christ, take our lives. We won't waste another day. Holy God, fill our hearts. We won't ever be the same. Jesus Christ, take our lives. We won't waste another day. Holy God, fill our hearts. We won't ever be the same. I give
let me pray with you, but I'm going to ask you the permission to pray for you right now. Let me pray for you. So listen and let this just kind of swirl around your heart. Father, we have wasted so much of our time. We've messed up our relationships so badly. We've acted in our curses, the curses of our generations and the curse of our flesh. And we've hurt people who loved us, and we've gone after foolish things. So first thing, God, is forgive us. Second thing, God, is if you would please, as we partake of this bread, renew us, as we just sang. We don't want to waste another day. And we don't ever want to be the same. So with the taking of this bread, we give our lives to you. We give our hearts to you. Brothers and sisters, partake. Now, for you guys that don't know, this cup of blood, it's a representation of what's called the new covenant. And the new covenant is this. With the taking of this, it makes your life Teflon. You're never going to stop sinning, and you'll never be sinless. But with the taking of Christ upon you, you will be what's called blameless. Your sins will not be able to stick to you anymore. You'll sin, and it'll with just a brush off of 1 John 1:9, just saying, God, forgive me, boom, right off. If that is for you, like it is so needed for me, partake. Pray that verse again. Now stand up and sing to God this last time this song.
I give I give.